VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It is Saturday morning. It is 10 o'clock. And that can only mean that this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I'm Christine Kennedy.
And that's a voice that many of you have heard more than once, no doubt. Christine is a local mortgage broker and spends a fair amount of time with Howard and Angela and has appeared many times on their show. And we wanted to get her in here because what's more financial to most people than your home?
It's the biggest purchase for most people will ever make.
So. Unless you buy an existing business or do something really weird, it is going to be the number one transaction. And not only that, it stays with you for a long, long time.
Long time. 30 long years. Time.
Sometimes.
Now, it can be
15. 20,
it can be.
Depends.
25.
It can be changed. It can be accelerated. It can be delayed. But like the old property of energy, it is neither created nor destroyed once in place. You got to pay that puppy off somehow. And you might as well get the best deal up front because that's going to help. But then again, what happens if your circumstances change? And that's part of what I'm interested in with Christine. So we'll spend the first segment here mostly on the market wrap. But everybody out there know we have a mortgage expert in for the whole time, and you will go to the front of the line no matter what, because callers always do. And then you can ask her any question. Don't be afraid if you have other financial questions or whatever questions you want. We'll take those too. But just so you know, you have the opportunity to get your mortgage questions answered by a true professional today. And we know that because she has dealt with lots of our family.
And yep, and me personally, she's excellent. So yeah. Highly recommend
it. Yeah, we never would tout anything that we haven't personal knowledge of, and it's the same with Christine because we have used her, so that's a good thing. Anyway, I woke up this morning as usual and started surveying the financial media, and I concluded that nothing went on the whole week because there wasn't anything about it. And yet I thought along the way that I was hearing some stories that impacted both things like your 401k and maybe your future of the job market and things like that. But lo and behold, there was one story that I found that said something about presidential impeachment or something. The market didn't hear about that, apparently.
No, the market hasn't paid much attention to that whole storyline the entire time it's been going on. And this week was especially weird because they announced the articles, and then within about 10 minutes, they also passed the USMCA trade deal, which had been sitting on someone's desk for the last 6-8 months. And it was a very weird timing. But really, the USMCA is such a bigger deal, according to the market, than all of that other noise that you're hearing. And it should be a really excellent thing for North America, including the U.S. and Mexico and Canada. So that was kind of drowned out by the other nonsense. But even better news, at the end of the week, we saw the China deal reach an agreement in principle and with plans on signing it in January. So this week kind of started out like last week. It was down. It was off on the first couple days, mm-hmm. and then kind of turned around. It ended up a little bit better than last week, though.
And coincidentally, there was a little election in England. And yeah. The polls there proved that they must be the same pollsters that we use here because they don't know squat.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, it does look like I think Boris gained an 80-seat majority. Something amazing like that. So
which means
not too surprising.
Brexit by January 31. After all, didn't the people vote for it?
Yeah,
back in 2016?
That is the thing. I don't really care which way it goes because I have no interest in UK politics, but I'm just glad to see the will of the people is coming to fruition.
There's a fella named, I think it's Jeremy Corbyn, I've never seen a guy with his tail any further between his legs as he walked off the stage than Corbin.
He definitely took his toys and went home.
He definitely did. And they were pushing on the way, I think.
They might have been.
Does my heart good.
So this week, the NASDAQ was the leader, as has been the case for most of the year, gaining just under 1%. The S&P added 0.7%, and the Dow 0.4%. The fourth quarter has been pretty much a mirror image of last year, gaining almost 6% on the Dow and over 9% on the NASDAQ. If you remember this time last year, we were not having a lot of fun. For the year, all three indexes are up over 20%, and the NASDAQ is up over 31%. Unbelievable.
Isn't that, though?
Yeah. Big turnaround from
the fourth
quarter.
Of course, you know, it's going to crash. For sure.
Well,
that's what it says in the financial.
I mean, that's true eventually.
And they're always right.
It is right. At some point, it will crash, but hopefully no time soon. So because our guest works in the mortgage industry today, I thought I'd talk a little bit about housing. It is true that the national housing market took a break from its gains in 2018, but the buying has continued in 2019. That trend had more to do with interest rates than it did the strength of the economy, both of those things. In 2018, interest rates were rising, and in 2019, they were falling, making homes much more affordable. According to Bespoke Research, house payments take up 8% less of the average worker's paycheck than they did last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have lost money on that one. I would have thought that the payments are higher in relative to
their. That's the interesting thing.
All right.
Payments are at an all-time high. But as a percentage of income, because people are making more money, they're 8% lower this year, and
the
interest
Trump
rates
factor.
Falling, they're 8% lower than they were last year.
Excellent.
As a percentage of your paycheck. So I thought that was really interesting.
That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
Yep. And a really good sign, too. That means that for the average worker, homes are more affordable than they have been as recently as last year. So,
and then they have more money for Home Depot, Lowe's, painting,
food,
you know,
medical, all of those
everything
things.
Everything they're putting back into the economy, which is good for everybody.
Exactly. From a regional perspective, much to no one's surprise, the South is leading the way in new home construction, claiming half of all permits for new housing in the recent data. Despite that, lack of inventory continues to be an issue for buyers, which should push prices higher in the coming year. Price increases slowed from around 6% in 2017 to about 2% in 2018, but they bounced back nicely in 2019 at about 4%. 4% is a good number. It's sustainable. House prices can continue to go up by that much. If we had continued to go up at 6%, I would say that's really overheated.
Yeah, I kind of do too.
So the housing market appears to be on really strong footing heading into 2020, which is great for the economy.
Yeah. If I've read two headlines to you that I did find this morning, could you guess who wrote them? They are, the hottest housing markets are located far from the West and East Coasts.
I saw that on MarketWatch, actually.
Yep, good guess. And the other one was, here's proof that 401k plans are not working for most Americans.
That was the one right under
exactly.
The other one on MarketWatch.
After this week, that's what you come up with?
Yeah, well,
it's so blatantly untrue, first, and it's so blatantly biased, second. It's just nuts.
Much like your mortgage, your 401k has the success of it has a lot to do with how much you put into the 401k. So.
Yes. Well, they're complaining about equality of income, and they're saying people with bigger 401ks actually make more money in the 401ks than people with smaller ones. Who knew? I was flabbergasted. I tell you,
you're
folks,
a funny guy.
Hey, they make my job so easy, these idiots at places like MarketWatch and Yahoo Finance, because they write stupid stuff. It's only meant to take your attention off of Trump's successes. It's purely political. So if you want the real truth, you do what you always do. You tune into this show and you get everything you need. All right, Adam has a great trivia question. We're talking about loans today, and his trivia will be on loans. We'll give you that right after the break. And then we'll get into it with Christine. So get your mortgage questions together, because you'll never get a better answer than you're going to get in about 3 minutes. This is the Banley Financial Hour. Small and independent business. Welcome back to the Banley Financial Hour. The light is on. That means we are, too. And we're deeply involved in solving the world's problem, but we're going to start sharing that with you. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Christine Kennedy.
And we're going to get into that in just a second. Adam wants to bring you a trivia question, brought to you, as always, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. And today's trivia question regards debt.
It does. Debt is growing across almost every category. But what I want to know is, what is the fastest growing category of debt in the United States right now?
And we've had some interesting guesses, but we haven't had the right one from anybody yet.
Not yet.
Very interesting. All right, well, why don't you sell yourself for a couple minutes, just so people understand that you really know what you're talking about.
I'm Christine Kennedy. I've been in the mortgage industry, this year marks 23 years, and I've closed almost $240 million in loans in my career. So just a wee bit. Mm-hmm. It's all I know how to do, but I'm pretty good at it.
Not bad.
And not everything is conventional these days, to say the least.
Actually, I would say less than 50%. I would say 25% would be a VA loan of veterans, you know, helping our military. We love mm-hmm. them, especially in Jacksonville. Right?
We have a lot of those. That number, especially, do you think that's higher than the average because of being in Jacksonville?
I do. I do in Jacksonville.
That would make sense.
I help a lot of veterans. We do a lot of FHA, 3.5% down. Mm-hmm. You know, you can buy most of the counties less than 340, 350. You can buy. So you can buy for 3.5% down. So a lot. And you can go down to a 580 credit score.
Wow.
Most everybody in Jacksonville has a 580 credit score and 3.5% down, buying less than $350,000.
I'm getting a shiver down my spine thinking of 2007 and 8 when I hear numbers like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we ever learn anything?
No. It's still way too easy.
I just thought it was a rhetorical question, more or less. One of my personal interests is, when you're a self-employed person or run a small independent business and you don't have a W-2 paycheck for years and years and years, I'm always interested how people can get helped. Back in 1974, Sarah and I bought our first house, and we were both working, both had W-2s. We walked into the bank because they told us that there was a house that we might be interested in. It was in an estate. And we walked in one day, and we signed a mortgage and a note, and they handed us the keys, and we drove over to our new house. Not like that anymore.
No, now I need your DNA, your future kid's DNA, and...
And a few promises thereabouts.
But,
so let's get into some of that, too. But I want to start out, just let everybody know what can be done. If you are not a typical, well-qualified 780 with a W-2 and a 10-year work history, what do you do?
Okay, so we're going to talk about employment.
Yep.
So let's go there. Okay. If you want a typical FHA, VA, or conventional loan, you are going to need to have the typical documents, which is, for a FHA or VA, you need 2 years of W-2s. For a conventional, you only need one. So you have to have 2 years of employment history, but you only need one W-2. Now, to flip subjects, if you're self-employed, you need 2 years of tax returns. So you need your 2 years of tax returns, of which you need your business needed to make money, or you needed to pay yourself a W-2. We add those together, right? So if you paid yourself a W-2 of $50,000, your business made $50,000, you have $100,000 of income per year. Now, if you've been self-employed longer than 5 years, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the main government institution, only requires that I get 1 year, right? So I don't see. So currently right now, you could, in theory, have a conversation with me and say, Christine, my 17 wasn't that great, but my 18, I rocked it. You've been self-employed longer than 5 years, I'm only going to get 1 year.
Oh.
So that does help. And now we're going into a new year, right? So now 18 wasn't that great, but 19, you're going to crush it. You're going to do your tax returns now, right? Which we're going to file February, April, March. So you just need 1 year of tax returns. So you could officially be looking for a house in February, file your tax returns in February, give me a copy in February. We can close in March or April, and you just crush 19, and we'll use that number. Now, a mortgage is all about who you go to, right? If you go to a box, if you go to a bank, if you go to a credit union, they're going to want the traditional 2 years. So if you want to go outside, you want to go to a creative company, you've got to go to a mortgage broker that's going to have creative products. So you could vary, the same exact borrower could walk into one institution and get a denial based on their employment. They don't have 2 years of history, right? Or they don't have 2 years. So you could make $100,000 on your tax returns, but you legitimately wrote it all off. So your income, your bottom line number was $10,000. The mortgage company is going to use the $10,000 number. So if you walk into a box that goes 2 years off a bottom line number, even though that their top line was $100,000, you can even up it to $1 million, right? They made $1 million in sales, but they wrote off all the expenses and their bottom line, whatever, everybody is going to use that bottom line number. So a box is going to use 2 years. More non-traditional is going to use 1 year. But there's also even other companies, circles or squares, that will use no years of tax returns. And you can actually get programs out there that will use your bank statements. So they'll take 12, if you're self-employed and you have your business license and you have 2 years of a business license, they'll get 12 months of your bank statements or 24 months of your bank statements. They can get your personal accounts or they can get your business or they can get both. You add up all the deposits and that's your income. That's what they'll use for the file. But there's a caveat. It's 20% down and the interest rate's higher. But for a lot of people that you guys would be helping, right, that it would be worth it to them.
For sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because they are legitimately have expenses on their business. So a lot of people that I have the conversation with, it's like, okay, which way do we want to go? Do you, for this house of $300,000 and you want to put 20% down, here's how much income you're going to need on your 19 tax returns. Right. So do we want to make this income and pay the income taxes on it? Or do we want to do a bank statement loan? You pay a higher interest rate. So that's the financial conversation of where you guys would come in. You got to do the numbers of which way is better for the borrower to go, because there are creative options as long as you have that business license for 2 years.
Most people are woefully underprepared when it comes to discussing their own tax returns, much less manipulating them. Section 179 depreciation, instant versus double declining makers, that kind of thing. You can make your, for a small business like ours, we can make our income what it needs to be, but you can't do it unless you understand it. And one of my pet peeves is how little people know about their own tax returns. We are constantly on top of that.
Interesting asterisk. We don't count depreciation as an expense. The mortgage company adds it back in. It's not a true expense. So if you take off,
it's not a cash expense, and that.
So we add it back in. So we count it. So if your bottom line number was $10,000, you started with 100. Mm-hmm. You wrote off some things, one of which being depreciation. Your bottom line number is 10. We would, and your depreciation was say 9. We would give you $19,000 for the year. There's certain things that we add back in.
I could justify that real easily mentally because of the 20% down. I couldn't justify it if it's a small down payment loan.
It's too much risk for the mortgage company.
Exactly.
You don't have verifiable income and you don't have enough assets into the loan. It's the foreclosure risk at that point is very high. Mm-hmm. So they that's why it's the 20% down.
I know it's been a long time since 2008, but some people don't forget, and I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. And that really concerns me when I see these things getting what appears to be riskier and riskier. I'm glad that at least in a situation like that, they can kind of work through that.
Back in the day, 2004 and 2005, we were the nation. We were writing no income, no asset, no credit loans. Literally, people would walk into my office, sign their name, and walk out with keys and a loan.
Yep.
And some of them as low as 5% down. Henceforth, the problem of the crash.
Yep.
On adjustable mortgages that the rates were going up.
In one of the books, like it might have been The Big Short, well, one of the ones I read that was analyzing the problem we had, the most egregious example they came up with was a migrant strawberry picker who had never made more than $25,000 a year in his life. He bought an $800-some-thousand-dollar loan. They loaned him 100% plus closing costs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take one guess how many payments he actually made.
Zero.
Bingo. Why did they do it? Because the rules had gotten so lax that all you had to do was initiate a loan and they were guaranteed they'd buy it from you right that day. You had no risk as a loan originator back then. And I worry that we could get caught up in that. But
We're not all the way there.
No, we're not.
We constricted, we tightened a lot, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12. It was very difficult. And then it started loosening. I would say 19 going into 20. We're much more open. There's a lot more ways of helping a lot of people. But the difference is this time is the 20% down. That's if you want a creative product. You want a creative product, you're a foreign national, you want an investment property, you want something creative, you've got to have the assets to go along with it.
What kind of FICO scores are you talking about for those?
Yeah, 680, 720.
Okay.
Everything, your interest rate is going to be credit score driven though. Right, the lower the credit, exactly. The higher interest rate. The mortgage company is going to mitigate its risk based on your credit score.
Okay, speaking of that kind of thing, What if your credit score improves and you're sitting at a high interest rate? How's the refi business these days, in other words?
You're going through the same documentation that you would for a full loan.
Okay.
Whatever they would be.
Well, we've got a bunch more to talk about after the break. Lines are open, 904-222-8255. You can call us whether you have a mortgage question for Christine or you have a financial question for the rest of us. You can get it real easy. We will put you to the front of the line. Trivia question is still out there. What is the fastest growing categories of loans in the country? And I'm promising you, it's not an easy one. So if you win the one today, you'll get a really nice present. It'll look a lot like the ones from last week, but they're all really nice. Ken Bales is a really good guy. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we'll discuss some things off air that we want to prioritize. But you can help us prioritize by bringing up anything that interests you. So don't hesitate to give us a call. Don't go anywhere. We will be back very quickly. This is the Bamley Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Bamley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Christine Kennedy.
And we have a caller on the line that I'm going to take in just 1 second after I remind you what the trivia question is today. And it is simply, what is the fastest growing category of debt among Americans? And you have to be relatively specific about this, too. Captain Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, you're talking about mortgages back in 2005, 2006.
Yeah, you knew a little something about that.
Yeah, I wrote software for a subprime lender. There was nothing out there. These guys were a Mac shop. They used Macs, and so there was really nothing for them. So I wrote it took me a year, but I wrote a program basically from inception to closing docs.
Okay.
And in those days, if you could fog a mirror, literally, if you could fog a mirror.
I didn't think they were that tight back then.
No, it was a 550, 560, nothing down, closing costs. And we had people walking away from the table with cash. And we would sell them to Allied Funding that day for about a 2% discount. So we were charging ridiculous fees, the fee to replace the fee for the other fee. And we knew it was crazy. I mean, everybody knew it was crazy, but they were making money hand over. I just heard the software, but they were making money hand over fist. It was just ridiculous.
We were just talking in the break, wondering where all that money went.
It disappeared. It's gone.
That's the conclusion.
It went into those derivative packages. And every bought them because the idiots even bought them because they said they were mortgage secured securities.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
With the credit rating of all the greatest companies that were lending money, except for one thing. That was only the top layer.
It was stupid. We better not go back to that. I mean, because the borrowers didn't care. They had no skin in the game whatsoever. They walked away. There was a whole bunch of guys who were selling courses on how to walk away from the table with cash and buy with nothing and flip the houses, because you could flip them in those days. They were kind of lending money on the come, so to speak, on what it would be worth right after, you bought it, because it would have gone up, 10% last year.
You sure could flip them.
About a house of cards. My God.
No kidding.
Right up until you couldn't flip them.
Yeah.
It was like one day it stopped.
And all of a sudden somebody said, hey, the emperor doesn't have any clothes on.
Exactly. They were buying investment real estate and taking the proceeds out of closing and going and buying another one. They were stacking up debt.
Yep.
And the second they stopped paying,
they were doing what they called desktop approvals, where the underwriters, it was like the weather bureau not having any windows. The underwriters were sitting there at their desks and approving loans based on a piece of software that took nothing into consideration, nothing at all. It was just, if you could buy. And since since you could flip the loan to a funding company, we used one called Allied. When it went out big time for a couple of billion, I guess. But they would buy the loan that day.
Yeah.
You would never service it.
You talk about a risk-free environment.
Not service it. Wow. But then, and then do you want to hear the rest of it? They got into the company got into the construction to final financing business, and on the construction loans, they're non-RESPA. You can do anything. It was just everybody knew that this could not keep going. But since we didn't own, or the company didn't own any of these loans after 24 hours, who cared?
That's the truth. And then, who was it? Is it Philip Bell? Is that the name I'm thinking of? The guy who recognized what was going on and bought all the credit default swaps?
Oh, the hedge fund manager.
Turned $25,000 into $1 billion.
Yeah. Good day.
Not a bad one.
But it took a lot longer than what he thought it would. He knew that they were all going bad. And they weren't repricing the mortgage securities.
Exactly.
And, but it finally paid off.
Yeah.
But and not, then,
that's,
and, you know,
that's where the money
that
went.
That wasn't the first time that happened. Do you remember the savings and loan debacle?
Oh, God,
where savings and loans companies were running, and then they had the, what was it called? The government formed this corporation.
Let me ponder this for a second. I know it very well because my mother got involved in it where she lived.
I can't think of it. I bought a yacht. Yeah, I bought a 53-foot Hatteras that had been sitting in a marina, and... the Something Trust Corporation.
Resolution Trust Company.
Resolution Trust, that was it.
I knew I'd get it eventually.
This boat had been owned by a guy who got thrown in jail for smuggling or something. And the boat was sitting in a marina on the Chesapeake Bay, a beautiful boat. And the marina was just holding it because they were running the clock on it. You know, they were charging storage, and they figured they would own it sooner or later. I found out that it had gone, I'll never forget the name of the bank. It was the Virginia Perpetual Savings Bank, and it was not too perpetual. And then it had gotten thrown into a box of securities that got sold to, or wound up with this Resolution Trust, and then some guy bought it, bought literally a box full of folders. And this boat was in the folder. I offered him $10,000 for this folder, and the good part was is, before Perpetual Savings and Loan went out of business, they had advertised a foreclosure, so it was legal. And I held a federal marshal sale, and I was the only person at the sale. I bought an $800,000 yacht for $25,000.
Okay. Yes. That's where the money went.
Hopefully we don't get that nuts again. And I don't think in this climate, but I'll tell you, when there's this much money around, people figure out a way, don't they?
I hear you.
Well, all right.
Well, always fun, Cap. Have a good one. Merry Christmas.
War story. Merry Christmas, guys.
Right. Good morning, Mike.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Okay. To try to answer the question you asked about the most popular loans out there, I'm going to take a venture, I guess, and say personal loans.
That's actually correct.
Wow.
Can you tell us anything else about them? You're going to win it anyway. But.
I could. Well, I'm loan free, so I'm thankful.
Good for
that.
You.
And I think I read something about that in an article in Barron's. I get some wonderful articles all over the years through the financial newspaper Barron's.
But our discussion before the show was very interesting because most people we thought would start out by saying it's either home loans or lines of credit, or the thing that everybody's talking about right now is school loans or credit card debt or any of that. But in truth, this is unsecured personal loans, and that's what you're talking about. And
exactly.
It is growing the fastest of anything
out there. 11% annual rate, and that is significantly higher than student loans or credit card loans. And people are using them to fund projects like home projects, which used to be largely funded by home equity loans.
Now they've taken the fun out of home equity loans.
Right. So. With the tax law changes, those don't make as much sense anymore, so people are turning to personal loans.
Yep. You nailed it, my friend, and I will put you on hold, and Alan will get your vitals, and we'll send you a little something from Mr. Bales.
Thank you so much. Keep up the very good work, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Same to you. I honestly did not believe we'd get it in one hit.
That's insane. That's crazy. Good for him.
This is something, if you listen to us a lot, this is something we talk about a lot. The people who listen to the show think. They know how to think. Yeah. And you can tell it by a lot of the answers that come into our trivia questions.
No doubt.
Which is why we always try to emphasize trivia questions that have a meaning or a purpose. We want you to go away with a parable, or at least saying we learned something today by listening. But when you hear what people answer, right or wrong, it's very often a very well-reasoned circumstance that brings them to the answer. So, again, we score big on that.
That was awesome. I do something interesting mortgage-wise for a student loan. Even if you're not making payments on your student loan, the mortgage company is going to count a debt against you in the qualification. So even people coming out of college with no payment, when they go to qualify, that the mortgage company is going to hit them for it, because during the 30 years, they're going to have a payment. So people don't realize that. It does
affect
them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the personal loans are going to
That's going to affect them too, obviously. But those are payments immediately.
You can bankrupt your way out of a personal loan, right?
Not a student loan.
Mm-hmm. Those things are dangerous, really dangerous, unless you earn something. And we never mind if somebody says they have student debt because they had to get trained to do such and such, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is. That fine, and use that extra earnings you get to pay it down. But if you don't have that, then you should really be thinking about what you're doing in college. All right, one more segment after a very short break. Don't go away. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Christine Kennedy.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can give Troy a call at 662-9794, because who wants to do that themselves? Not this guy, that's for sure. Okay, we have a few more topics we'd like to hit on with Christine. We've been talking about such things as the necessity to become pre-qualified, and that's for a couple of reasons in this market. Going to take off on that one?
I think the number one reason that I like to talk to somebody before they go shopping is to set expectations, right? They whatever price house they want a 200, 300, 400, or 500. Let's talk about the financials behind it. Let's talk about the down payment required. Let's talk about the credit score required. Let's talk about the income, the debt ratio. Most importantly, let's talk about the payment, right? In my world, most everything is payment driven. I spoke to somebody this week and their goal was, you know, a $2,000 to $2,200 a month payment, but the house that they wanted was going to equal $2,728. That's a big difference in disposable income of what you're going to have left over after your housing payment for the rest of life. And they didn't really want to change their lifestyle very much. They still want to be able to travel. They still want to be able to do different things. But you got an additional $500 for that $500,000 house that they really want in the neighborhood that they want, with the CDDs, with the HOA. You got a budget on all those things. And the negative too, if you go online to a mortgage calculator, it's just usually the principal and interest. They fluff in a low property tax. They fluff in a low homeowner's insurance. There's none of that mortgage insurance in there. There's none of the neighborhood fee. So if you're only using an online calculator, you're going to be way off and you're going to have payment shock when you go to talk to the mortgage person and get the real payment. So I always say avoid all those and have a human conversation with a human. And then that way you're more realistic and there you can set expectations initially up front and avoid the heartache and that happens if you have that payment shock. It's awful.
There's the oldest rule in the book, and one that I have violated numerous times in my life. You never fall in love with your real estate. It is a commodity. There's more. I have to ask you to do as I say, not as I do, because we have always worked the other way. But I know better. I just don't do it. But the other thing everybody knows in a market this hot, especially in certain price ranges, if you walk in there and fall in love with it, and you don't have a pre-qualification letter in your hand, the guy behind you is going to write a check for it, and mm-hmm. you're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be disappointed real fast. Or they get three offers, and two of them are above asking price. You got to get in there, and you got to know what you're doing. When you're ready to pounce, you got to pounce these days.
Absolutely. Well,
it depends on the price range.
But it does. Yeah. That's like 300 and under for sure.
For mm-hmm. sure.
What's the hottest market range you're seeing these days for mortgages?
250 to 350.
Okay, so that's right where mm-hmm. we would expect it to happen. Mm-hmm. And how's the supply in Jacksonville nowadays?
Don't know.
How's the supply of people?
I do the money part. I sit at a computer all day.
How's the supply of people knocking on your door? that'll determine it.
Mortgages are good.
And interest rates, of course, we mentioned briefly earlier, and we should probably talk about this a little bit. that the actual interest rate is dependent on such things as your FICO score?
Absolutely. A 640 versus a 700 versus a 740 is a huge difference in rate. It could literally be 1% difference depending on the credit, the program that you're going for and the credit score of that model. So it 100% matters. When people say, I want the best rate, okay, what's your down payment and what's your credit score?
Yeah. And will they offset a little bit? You pay more down, but your credit score is lower?
25% down with a 740 score is going to get you the lowest rate in the nation.
Okay, and if you had a 780 or 800 score?
Once you're above the 740, you're in the highest tier.
Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That seems pretty reasonable. Mm-hmm. Okay, how do you raise that? If you were talking to someone and they're coming in at a 690, what do you tell them?
Your credit card availability to your purchase amount. So if you have a credit card, and what I always tell people, doesn't matter if it's $300 limit, a $3,000 or a $30,000 limit, never spend more than like 30, 40%. Certainly never go above 50% of your availability. It'll kill your credit every single time.
And a lot of the financial gurus will tell people to pay down your credit cards, get them paid up, either cut them in half or send them back or something. And we say, no, leave that account open. That's available credit. That counts as a plus for you when you go to borrow money.
Great advice. I always tell people to leave them open and charge a wee bit on them. Yeah. Have $10 or $100, use your Publix, use your gas.
Put gas in the car and pay it off.
And pay it down, keep a little bit on there so it maintains the train line and it maintains it at an open and an active date. Our grandparents who have credit cards from 40 years ago, they have the best credit, you know, when they have that old JCPenney credit card with $3,000 and, you know, they go every quarter and they buy something. Those are the people with the 825, 830 credit scores because they've had credit for lines forever. And they have very little charged on it.
Okay.
I was just taking a look at what a 1% change in your interest rate would do on a $300,000 mortgage. So if you are at 3.92, which is just the rate that popped up in this calculator.
That's fair.
You would get a mortgage of $1,418 a month. And if you pop that up to 4.92%, it goes to $1,596 a month. So a difference of $178 a month. Just on that 1% interest rate difference.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's huge. So get your FICO score up. Have you run into the new FICO scores, the optional?
It's coming.
Mm-hmm. It's coming fast.
It's coming fast, like January.
Mm-hmm. And I hope you know more about this than I do. I know enough about a lot of things just to be dangerous and bring them up, but I don't know all the details. But right now it's optional, right?
It is optional. You know, it was created by a credit card company.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. We don't know which one. But a credit card company is the one that actually established, went to the credit bureau and have them change it. Because credit card companies run their own module of the amount of people that are going to, you know, foreclose on their, not foreclose, but not pay their credit card. And they went to the bureaus and had them establish it.
Now, as I understand it, it looks at such things as your credit card statements, your bank accounts, and it's voluntary that you would give your history to a potential lender. But by doing so, you might get the I call it FICO 2. I don't know.
It will. It's a different line that the mortgage company would have to order. The borrower would have to request it, and we would have to order it. It's not going to come up when we order our traditional tri-merge.
But
it's
a separate one. If you are paying your bills, but you do not yet have a really great FICO score, this could help you.
It could.
It's just another one of those things. Our motto around here is we never tell you what to do. We tell you what can be done, and then you can go get help to get it done if it sounds like you. And that one's important.
Yeah, it's a new model coming. So we don't really know what we don't know yet because it hasn't been released. But I'm excited to see if it's going to be able to help more people. But the main thing with credit is, you know, have three lines of credit that you're paying on time. Keep your balances down and make sure you pay everything on time. That $15 JCPenney bill that you don't pay the 1 month will kill your credit, you know, for a solid year because of that late payment. So pay all your bills on time. Even if it's a $15 payment, you know, a $75 payment, when you get the medical bill and you think you have insurance, make sure you pay that, you know, that copay of that $30 because those medical company, the doctors will submit it to a collection company. You'll get a $30 collection. It'll kill your credit for a year. You can't not get it removed. So pay that $30 deductible, just pay it and then go back to your doctor's office and dispute it and talk about it later, but pay the $30. I see so many collections for $30 when they say, I have insurance. I don't understand. That was a deductible that I'm not supposed to pay. And it's legitimate. They weren't supposed to pay it, but it kills their credit. And if you're planning on buying a house in 2020, the first thing you want to start with is your credit. Go to the bureaus, pull your credit. You can do it. You know, you can pull your own. You can go to annualcreditreport.com for free. You can pull your credit. You can go to Equifax, TransUnion, or Experian. You can pay, I think, $8 to $30. You can pull your credit. You can pull your score. You can call a mortgage company, but that is an inquiry. But there's lots of ways of getting a copy of your credit report. See what's on there first before a professional sees what's on there.
And if you another couple ways, your bank, your credit card, or creditkarma.com all provide you your credit score for free. So there's no reason to pay to get that anymore.
I saved my biggest bugaboo till last. How do you get rid of that stupid PMI? And I found out from your email yesterday that that's a little more complicated answer than I ever thought it was.
No, I had to do it. Yeah, it was interesting, right? You actually have to request it.
I thought when you got down to just get a new appraisal, your loan is now at 80%, and you just send that to them, and boom, it's over, right?
No, you have to pay a fee. You have to request it, and then they can deny it because you actually have to have made your payments on time. You have to have so much into your 20% into the property. There's a lot. And the value has to be more than what you originally purchased it for. Interesting.
So
I did not know that.
Just paying down on a steady or declining value home, that's not going to cut it, huh?
Not unless you request it. So once you hit the 20% down mark, call your mortgage company and ask what their process is to remove the PMI, because there is a process and a fee.
As I said, a long time since 1974. The simplicity just isn't there. But the bottom line here is, if you're even thinking about buying, give Christine a call and go talk to her about all the good and all the bad, and don't hide anything from her, because somebody's going to catch it, right?
Always be truthful with me, and we'll go from there.
Okay, and I tell you, folks, we know she can get it done. Thanks so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. We will see you all next week, same time. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.